Hello, my name is Mariposa. I'm 54. Today is January 27th, 2024. I'm at CMAC Fresno, California with Jana with One Small Step Partner. With my One Small Step Partner.
Hi, I'm Jana Lucas. I'm 51 years old. Today is January 27th, 2024. I'm at CMAC in Fresno, California, and I'm here with Mariposa, my One Small Step partner.
Great. Start us with question one.
What made you want to do this interview today?
I wanted to do this interview. I saw it advertised on social media, and it said that they were attempting to bring people together from different sides of the aisle. And I thought, what a fantastic idea. How come we haven't done this for years? I wish that people were so more respectful of each other so that they could learn about each other and realize that relationships are so much more important than how you vote or where you worship or anything else. And I'm a history teacher and I teach young people. And so I have to teach them to be respectful and tolerant of everything. And I need to show them by example as well. That's really why.
That's beautiful.
Thank you. So what made you want to do this today, Mariposa?
Well, I also saw this on social media. And as I mentioned, I was supposed to do the StoryCorp. So I was excited to get this opportunity. And I felt similar to you where I thought, you know, what a great idea to bring two people who come from different backgrounds and or ideologies and have a conversation. And like you, I thought, how else are we going to heal these wounds if we don't start opening up and talking about them?
Amen.
You know?
Right.
Oh, I can't. I will.
Okay. Hold on. Sorry.
It's okay.
I just hear the jangling.
Yeah. It's okay.
All right. Go on.
Yeah.
All right. So you can go to question two now.
Yeah. Wait, I have a question.
Yes.
So when she's talking, and I said it was beautiful, Ash, do I have to wait till she's done speaking, or can I be like, wow, I'm so excited to hear that. That's amazing, or...
Yeah. I mean,
can we just talk?
Can we just talk?
Like, okay.
Because I felt
I feel like there's these rules. Yeah. Like, we don't want to break them, but I don't.
Look, there's a structure.
Okay.
I want you to feel supported by that structure, but you don't need to feel inhibited by it either. If you want to kind of, you know, jive off of some of these questions in between.
All right.
Yeah, that's totally fine.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Tell me about one or two people in your life who have had the biggest influence on you. What did they teach you?
My maternal grandfather. So my parents would work, and my sister and I, it's just my sister and I, we would go to my grandparents after school until my parents got home from work. And so we were very close to our grandparents. One set lived three doors down and the other set lived two blocks away. So we were always around family. And my grandfather was in World War II. And I've always been naturally curious and asked a lot of questions, even if they didn't want to answer them. I was too young and naive to pick up on that. So I would ask him, excuse me, a lot of questions about what was the war like. He was a prisoner of war for a year and a half. And he had married my grandma one day before he shipped out, and then he's missing in action, and then they were married for 54 years. And it's a very small but cohesive family, and so he had such an impact on me. That's why I chose to teach history. I thought that young people needed to hear stories like that, and he taught me so much more. I remember I asked him, Grandpa, do you hate the Germans for what they did to you? And he taught me forgiveness in this one sentence, and he said, "No, honey girl, I don't hate him. Those old boys would just rather been out hunting and fishing just like me." And after knowing about all of the things that happened to him when he was in prison camp, that taught me a lot. And I thought, so I kind of emulate to be like him. And I always approach my students like, I don't know what's going on in their life. So just meet them with empathy mm-hmm. and love and grace. And I would say my folks are still married. And as they age, I can't tell if they do some wacky things these days. And I'm not sure if they're doing that because they're aging, or my sister and I have talked, or did they always do that, but we just looked at it through a different set of eyes when we were younger.
Right.
So I'm not real sure, but, we were raised in the church, and we had what I thought everyone grew up exactly the way I did. And I have since come to learn, no, they haven't, but they have had a huge influence on me, right or wrong, you know, because I don't know if it was necessarily good at times. They put a lot of pressure on me to do things the way they wanted. So when I was the first person in my family to get divorced, I felt a lot of pressure and a lot of guilt and shame. So,
how do you feel now?
I will always put my parents on a pedestal. I can look at them now, and it took me probably until I was 45 to be able to stand up to them and say, you need to butt out. You need to stay out of, like, you can, I'm no longer four. You need to trust the way that you raised me. I don't know where you're getting these ideas that you default to. Your daughters will make a wrong decision, because we don't. And yet I find that they're always kind of still telling us what to do. And that makes it tough, but at the end of the day, I mean, we love them and we take care of them. And my dad's having open heart surgery on Monday. And so I'm taking Monday night off so I can spend the night with him in the hospital. And, you know, we're all very close. But definitely my family has had the greatest impact on me. And, you know, even decided, you know, where I go to church, how I vote, how I treat other people. My whole view of the world is kind of comes from the filter of my family. And tell me about you. Who are the people who have had such an impact and influence in your life, and what did they teach you?
My father mm-hmm. had a huge influence on me. Growing up, he was always happy. I would wake up to him whistling in the morning and just always so loving and open towards me. And I can't really remember him really getting upset with me. Like there was maybe more than a handful of times, but the way he did it was just so beautiful. And he was always listening to music, so I'm a big music head. I love music a lot. And he taught me, well, he and my mother, actually, they taught me how to love and be very, a very giving person. My mother and father were the type of people who would give their shirt off their back. Mm-hmm. And if we had one bean, they would split it up amongst as many people as we had to, and maybe not even eat if they, you know, if there wasn't enough. So they really taught me how to be loving and open to my community.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
I am an only child.
You are?
Yes.
And are your parents still?
My mother is still alive. Uh-huh. My mother will be 90 in July. Still driving, still picking up big pots of potting soil and gardening and such. And I always thought, wow, you're so blessed. There's so many people your age who can't even help themselves.
You know? She lives by herself?
She lives with us. We live with her.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That is neat.
So, yeah, it's been interesting, you know, to be with her mm-hmm. and be with your mom. You know, you love mm-hmm. them, and then you're also like, oh, mom, really? So I have a 28-year-old daughter who I'm seeing that whole, like, I love you, mom, but ugh, mom, or even my son who's 17. He's like, I love you, mom, but ugh, stop, you right? know? And my daughters are telling me, why you always ask so many questions? And you know who else has been one of my biggest influences? My children. Mm-hmm. My children have really, really been my teachers. They've taught me a lot about myself, even when I don't want to hear what they have to say, because it's a mirror that I was not willing to look at. I feel like I'm more and more open to hearing what they – I've always heard what they had to say. Not, I didn't necessarily follow their advice sometimes, but I do feel like my children are a very much a beautiful reminder of – my labor of love, mm-hmm. as well as hope for this earth. You know, they're really good people. My kids are, if they weren't my children, I would certainly wish I had children like them.
I love hearing that.
They're pretty awesome. So, yeah. And my dad, like I said, and my mom too. My mom, you know, my mother's a wonderful cook. I'm a wonderful cook. And I really appreciate the knowledge and the love, and I feel like I am the odd one of my family. I do things very differently than my mother would like me to do, or my father. But before my father passed away, I think my father understood like my path. You know, I'm like, this is, I walk a different path. I don't walk the path. I don't walk the straight and narrow. I break the barriers.
In what way? What do you think that they would have like wanted you to do differently?
They probably would want me to live in a cute little house with a white picket fence mm-hmm. and have a husband. Mm-hmm. I've never been married. Mm-hmm. And, you know, live this cookie cutter.
Idyllic.
Yeah, lifestyle. And that's not me. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm about to get ready to go on a 10-day silent retreat. And I have 3 children with 3 different people. And... you know, my daughter, you know, my daughter's traveling the world and she's saving the world. And, you know, I'm very much for that. And I believe in spirituality, and I believe that everyone's path to the higher being is really their higher self. And I feel that we all get to that path if we choose to, the way we need to get there. It's all a different way to get there. You know, that's why there's many different names for the higher
right.
being, you know. So, yeah.
I love it. You radiate joy.
Thanks.
Like where I feel like, you know, you make every decision through either love or fear. And I honestly feel like my life has kind of been guided by fear, where, you know, am I doing the wrong thing? Am I offending someone? Am I dressed okay? Am I, you know, this, all of this imaginary pressure that I put on myself, I can't be late, I can't, and I always think like my house is always clean and no one's there. No one comes to visit or anything. And I think, am I afraid that the clean police are going to come? What am I so afraid of? Where here you are on the other end saying, hey, this is who I am. And yet you talk about your dad and how he showed you love and how you went a different path and how it seems like you balance out well between saying, Dad, I love you too, but I'm going to do this. And then clearly you've passed that on to your children.
Yes. When you said that you stood up to your parents at 45, mm-hmm. I remember when my daughter was born, mm-hmm. I was with her father, and her father, we were living, I'm from Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. We moved to Fresno to have her. Mm-hmm. And at that time, her father went to the Bay Area to look for work, but then he came back to be in Fresno, and my mother wouldn't let us sleep together.
Even though you had a child.
Even though I was pregnant.
Right, right.
She wouldn't let us sleep together. So right. once we had our daughter and we mm-hmm. moved to the Bay Area, we came back for Christmas and she was still trying to
separate
us. I said, we're a family. I'm a grown woman. And if you're not going to let us be together as a family, then we'll just go find a hotel. Mm-hmm. And my father's like, no, absolutely not. You're not going to do that. They're going to sleep together. My mother's name is Armida. Armida, they're going to sleep together. They're a family. But my mother is a very devout Catholic. So she felt like, no, if you're not married. I said, I just did the most beautiful act that God would want me to do. I procreated a beautiful being. My daughter's name is Messiah. So my mother flipped her wig.
Really? Did she think that was a bad thing, yeah. Like blasphemy?
Yes.
Really? She doesn't. Where you could look at that as the highest honor.
I mean, there's people named Jesus, Mary, and Joseph all day
Correct.
Long.
Correct. You're exactly right.
Yeah. So.
That's fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Her name's Messiah with one S.
I love it.
Yeah. So that's when I stood up to my mom and dad, or my mother, I should say.
Was that hard for you?
I think my love for my family, my partner and my daughter at the time, it surpassed it being hard. Because I'm like, sense. This is who we are. Now I have my own family. And this is how we are going to operate from this day forward.
I love that, though, because it makes you looked at it now as the role of parent or adult to adult, rather than I kind of still feel like a child when I'm around my parents at times, you know, just because of the things that they'll say to me.
How old are your parents?
So they are 78 and 76, and they are self-righteous and judgment. And I'm going to come off like they're bad, and they aren't bad. I've just found that as they have aged, they've become increasingly critical of others and contemptuous. And it annoys my sister and I so much. Like, you are alienating people. What do you, like, all you, we were in the church every time the doors were open. I don't believe that they would have welcomed Christ with open arms if he were to come in our church, because they don't know him. And that's really difficult to say, and that's hard to admit about your parents. And yet, like, when I finally did stand up to mom, and it was over she didn't like who I was in a relationship with and stuff, and she didn't speak to me for over 2 years. And it was really difficult.
Wow.
We really lack for communication. Not my sister and I, but it seems like my dad and my mom, like that they cannot, like, even if I present facts to them, they will say something like, well, I didn't hear that. Oh, well, so then clearly it does not exist, or it is not true. And I just don't understand that at all, you know? Just not at all. So
where do you think that stems from?
Their own upbringing. And if you, take my paternal grandparents. So they lived three doors down. And the whole, as long as I was around, they had two separate bedrooms, my grandma and my grandpa. And they did not go to church, but they didn't. They were never loving towards each other. They were in different bedrooms, and then my other grandparents were very close, and they did go to church, and they were faith-based, and it was two almost polar opposites of how people acted, but they stayed married all those years in different bedrooms, not happy. Neither one of them were happy. Where today we wouldn't do that at all. So I think my parents, they just sweep everything under the carpet, and there's this huge mound of junk under the carpet, you know. But if we don't acknowledge it, it doesn't exist.
It's true. So I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you have empathy and compassion for your parents?
Oh, absolutely. I do. I get more – so I'm a teacher, but my sister's a nurse. And they normally will talk to her first, even though she's younger, because I'm a little bit more direct and more abrupt, where Amy's more empathetic, you know, or a lot of times they're talking to her about health issues, and so they go to the nurse, not the teacher. And but yes, like, I just went over there and spent 2.5 hours with them yesterday. I mean, I go and see them at least once or twice a week. We're all very close. I'm just kind of internally resentful towards them. And because they, in my desire to please them, I've ruined relationships I was happy in. I have created relationships that I wasn't so happy in order to make them happy. And then I turn around and go, wow, I'm not happy.
That's really interesting. You just hit something with me. I feel mm-hmm. like because of my mother's way of thinking and, mm-hmm. you know, being in her home. Because
I think our moms should be friends, honestly. Because they
might get in trouble together.
She wouldn't have let me, like, sleep in the same bed with someone I was with either.
Yeah, well, it carried over to mm-hmm. the point where with my third son, who's 11, mm-hmm. and we're going to be 11, mm-hmm. His father lived with us, and he had to sleep in the living room. I had to sleep in my room, and I think that really caused a lot of issues. I mean, he was fine doing that because we were respecting the space. But
sure.
I also think ultimately for our relationship, mm-hmm. it
put a strain on that.
I mean, I can't snuggle with him. I can't right. sleep with him. Right. You know, when you sleep with your partner, you might put your foot over.
Sure.
I mean, all these things, they add up. So I really feel that outside of him and I not getting along for other reasons, mm-hmm. I think maybe if we would have had that option to sleep together, mm-hmm. that maybe things would have been different. I'm happy that we're not together.
Right.
But I'm just, you know, you're like the what ifs. What if, you know, and I just recently told her, I said, you know, I'm reflecting and I want you to know that I think part of the reason why this relationship did not work out is because you didn't allow us in your house to...
Even now, having three children
and being 50 and some 50, some, yes, 53, 54.
Right.
Yeah, it was.
See, I think you and I do a good job of being a parent to our children and yet respecting the relationship of our parent, like how we are a child to them. I wonder why our parents can't do that as well. Like, why can't they have faith in the way that they raised us where they can say, we did a good job. They're fine. Mm-hmm. If they are not doing something that we think is correct, we're the only ones to blame because we raised them.
Right.
You know, why can't they look at us as equals and her let you have that relationship with your boyfriend?
Yeah. I don't know. And, you know, that... you're talking, I'm like, oh yes, like my children, Elijah and Messiah, when I tell them things, they're like, who raised us? Who's my mom? Like, we got this. I'm okay. Like, I still tell them, did you say thank you? And they're like, mom, like, come on. I'm sorry. It's just something that I just, you know, automatically do. But I do know that my children are aware of the things that I've taught them. Mm-hmm. So, like, my daughter's in Jordan right now. She was just in Dubai, and it's just like, oh my gosh! Like, I'm, you know, I'm excited for her, but as her mother, I'm like, ugh. I'm like, she knows exactly what to do. She's 28 years old. She's mm-hmm. a woman, and for the first time, about a year and a half ago, I finally looked at her as a woman to woman versus mm-hmm. being my daughter.
I have not had that experience yet, but that's fascinating.
And now I listen to her like mm-hmm. I would listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not like, and not judging. I'm just like, okay, I'm going to hold space for you because guess what? Mm-hmm. At her age mm-hmm. and furthermore, we have stories to tell. We can tell our kids stories. When we were I was 28, I did da, da, da. She also needs to create her own stories, just like Elijah needs to create his own stories, right? So he can have these stories and these experiences to share.
Yeah, that's why I'm glad you brought him. That's one of the reasons. I mean, I'm glad that he gets to hear this and realize that there are competent, rational people who can discuss things without going off the wall. You know, society saddens me.
Yes, but you know, our children, they came for a reason. They're here to give us hope. Mm-hmm. They're here to give us hope, and I'm sure your son's a phenomenal human being, and I'm sure that you're having your teenage woes with him as well, because mm-hmm. we all do. That's our rites of passage, right? Uh-huh. They have their rites of passage, and mm-hmm. we have our rites of passage. Mm-hmm. And being a mama, you know, I've never been a mother to a 17-year-old young man. Mm-hmm. I've been a mama to a 17-year-old young woman.
Sure.
Very, very, very different. And her world was very, very different. Mm-hmm. She was at Occupy Wall Street fighting.
Was she really?
The cops, you know, yeah. She was living out there, you know. She
At 17?
At 16.
16?
17-ish. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, and my son's about to graduate, and he's going to go to the Amazon in the summertime and, you know, do these things. And I have to remind myself that I have to have faith mm-hmm. in what is happening. You know, the decisions he makes. It's hard. I fight him tooth and nail, but it's hard. Mm-hmm. You know, because it doesn't come from a place of, oh, I want to bully you or I want to be mean to you. It comes from a place of love and fear. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want him to be skateboarding late at night.
But that makes sense.
Yeah. But to him, he's like, I got this, Mom. We're, you know, you know what I mean?
I do.
You know. But, well, maybe we should go on to the next.
That's sure. Yeah. So that's where you read each other's bios.
Out loud?
Yes. Out loud. Okay. As they're written.
Okay.
So
at the same time? Or?
No.
So gotcha. Okay.
Jenna, I'll have you start, actually.
Okay.
Mariposa's bio. It's this little sheet of
paper. Oh.
Yeah, sorry.
There's you, and then what do... Okay.
I can actually take this out of your way.
Got it? My name is Mariposa. I'm a mother of three beautiful humans, ages 28, 17, and 11. I'm going to say
10.
I know. Oh, okay. He's going to be 11. I'm an artist and believe in freedom of expression and speech. I grew up in Los Angeles and Oakland. I love meeting new people and having new experiences. I have a lot more than just one question. You said that what brought you up here from Los Angeles is because you had a daughter. But what took you to Oakland?
Well, when I was raised in LA, mm-hmm. and when her father and I found out we were going to have a baby, he said, let's go to the Bay Area. And I said, well, I've never really been there. Mm-hmm. We were actually aiming for Berkeley. We ended up in Oakland. Yeah. And this was our pit stop. So I've been here. I've been to Fresno several times. And my parents moved to Fresno. So my parents sold our house in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. moved to Kerman first. And my mother could not handle Kerman because it was very tiny then. It was a blink of an eye and mm-hmm. you're out, right? So my father opted to buy her a house in Fresno. So this is the house that we're in now.
Okay.
And so when I got pregnant, we came here first, had our daughter, and then her father got a job in San Mateo, which took us to Oakland.
Got it.
Yeah.
So you guys moved up there.
We moved up there because uh-huh. we wanted to be up there, which was a lovely, lovely experience to be out there and meet people. And it was a good thing for me because I traveled out of the country a mm-hmm. few times, but I had never left everything and picked up everything mm-hmm. and just went someplace I knew nobody. Mm-hmm. I'm a social butterfly. Mm-hmm. I know everybody, right? So coming to a place that I knew no one was just except my family mm-hmm. was a very new experience. Mm-hmm. Now I can't walk down the street in Oakland without knowing somebody, you know, because I know a lot of people now. And so, yeah. So
I love that.
So now you'll okay. do the same.
Okay. I'm the oldest typical type A child who has tried to do everything right, but nonetheless has been divorced twice. I have taught history for 25 years. I love politics, but my relationships take priority over religious and political differences. I am generally interested in why people think differently than myself. Well, You've kind of already covered a lot of, but you True. Say, let's see. So how has, when you say your relationships take priority over your religious and political differences, mm-hmm. how has that, outside of your family, mm-hmm. How have you been able to navigate the world in that way?
Well, what I saw was a lot of, it seems to me that people are going further and further away from each other. And you see people blocking each other on social media and having arguments with people online. And I refuse to engage on things like that. And regardless of if I voted for the current president or not, it doesn't matter to me. I would never, ever put up a meme or a joke about that person, the president. I would never say anything other than respectful things and pray for them. that job has pressure enough. So I just find that other people will just put whatever they want out there, and I feel like they're asking for quarrels. And I don't understand why people are asking for quarrels. It just does not make sense to me at all. And some of my closest friends are extremely different than I am. But I find that I'm very tolerant of others. I don't find that sometimes others are as tolerant of my beliefs. So a lot of times I just don't talk about them at all.
And how does that make you feel? Because you can't talk about them. Don't you want to talk about them?
Sometimes, yeah.
So do you have to find people who agree with you?
No, I have come to the realization, actually not too long ago, it was around summer, where I thought, man, it's strange that all of my friends are very, because I'm an introvert at heart, and a lot of my friends are extroverted and they are very opinionated, and sometimes I feel like the uh-huh girl, the and I don't say much back. And I'm sure that that stems from fear that they won't like who I am. And I found that the few times I have set boundaries, like with my mother or with other friends, that those people have chosen to leave my life rather than be accepting. And so it was difficult enough that over the summer I asked the doctor if he could give me something for anxiety or depression or something, because I didn't understand why was I so expendable. I'm sorry, I don't mean to, but that's the truth.
Well, I'm glad that you're telling the truth. And you know what? I just want to tell you that those people who left you, they don't deserve to have you. And if you're that expendable, then they don't need to be in your life.
Yeah.
Seriously. I know it's hard.
When it's really hard like that, when you know your friends leave and the person that you're in love with leaves and stuff, the one thing that keeps me strong is that I know that I cannot show my sons anything less than you must be true to who you are. Mm-hmm. And I am just an empathetic person by nature. Mm-hmm. But I wonder, do empathetic people gravitate towards people who are not? Or how does that work? How do I always end up with outspoken friends?
Yeah, I'm going to share something with you. I'm on a spiritual journey right now, mm-hmm. and that's why I'm all in white. And I've been on it for almost a year, and I am basically – for just a whole explanation, I've dedicated a whole year of myself to God. So basically, I shaved my head. My hair used to be probably longer than yours.
Really?
And I shaved it last April. And I usually have nose rings on and rings and all. I adorn myself and I have none of that. And I really had to look at myself. Uh-huh. And I'm still continuing to look at myself and look at all of me. And in that process, I've lost so many people. I've lost a lot of friends.
Really?
That I thought were going to be there for me. I lost the person that I love. Actually, I don't want to say that. I'm going to.
That's okay.
I didn't lose him. He's just not in my life right now. Because I'm not going to manifest losing him. So I understand what you're saying, because it's not easy to lose people that you thought were going to be your friends and support you. You know, this is a really hard
and love you for you
thing for doing. You know, it's like I'm a diva. I'm a goddess. You know what I mean? And it's really difficult to have to like be in this space of like the first 3 months. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm so ugly, and oh my God, it's just like, you know, all these things were coming up, and because all the ugly was coming out of me, it's like squeezing like a sponge mm-hmm. with lots of soap in it mm-hmm. and all that soap's coming out mm-hmm. and just like that's all that ugh, right? And sometimes sure. that ugly still comes out, but I know I'm a better person, and I don't even know why some of these people have left. So I'm telling you this because I'm relating with you. You know, it's painful.
Right.
And why? Like, are we expendable? No. We're so beautiful. We're beautiful people. We have beautiful hearts. And it doesn't matter what we believe in. It doesn't matter how, you know, when you're talking about people who, like, I'm that person. I post a bunch of stuff on Instagram. I talk a bunch of shit on Instagram all the time. And it's not because I want to – Well,
see, because I don't mind when other people do. I don't mind. I'm just saying I don't because I just don't.
No.
But I don't.
I have a lot of followers. You know, so mm-hmm. I'm like, this is my stance. If you don't like it, you don't have to follow me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the door.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like this world is so beautiful. And in the same breath, it's so horrific right oh. now. And not even right now. It has been.
Right.
But because of social media, you and I coming from the same, you know, era mm-hmm. of. If we didn't have social media, mm-hmm. life would be so much better.
I agree.
If we didn't have cell phones, if I told you I was going to go, if I told you I'll meet you at the theater at 3:30
mm-hmm.
and you weren't there at 3:30,
mm-hmm.
if you weren't there at 3:40,
mm-hmm.
if you weren't there at 4:00,
mm-hmm.
I would call your home. And I might get a busy signal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would call you home to figure out where you are because right. that is caring.
Right.
Now all I have to do is just like, oh, girl, I can't make it. I'm texting you. I'm sorry. Boop, boop, boop. Like no one's being held accountable.
You're exactly right.
And it's awful because that's where the detachment comes from, right? So that's where we see kids when they're fighting at school and people are filming it instead of breaking it up. That's ludicrous to me.
I agree.
How can you? Why would you?
Right. Go stop that.
Yes. Say something.
I know.
Don't film it. Don't put it on TikTok.
Right.
You know? I mean.
I know. I'll go to a public event and I'll look around and adults and children alike are just like this.
Like this.
And I'm not that person. I will, if I'm with someone face to face, my phone is put away. And I would be so much happier if I didn't even have one. And then I literally, when we got here today, we had family portraits taken a month or so ago. So I was the contact with the photographer. So they came in today. So I sent them to my family. And then it just happened that my mom got them right as I got here. And I said, you guys, please don't text me for a while. I'm going to do this thing in Fresno. She immediately starts asking questions, like, just stop. But I have to tell my family, please do not text me. I'm busy. Or if I, the few times that I've put my phone away and I do something like, I won't hear from anyone all day, but then I'll look at my phone and there's 18 missed messages. And then I feel like I'm a terrible mom because I missed something that my kids needed or something. But we are tied or tethered to these phones and these devices instead of like, you know, my son who's 19 says, Mom, how do you know all these street names? How do you know how to get places? How do you know phone numbers? How do you? And I'm thinking, you guys have the world at the palm of your hand as far as information goes, and you can't get across town, the town that you were raised in. And I'm telling, I mean, my son's a valedictorian, one's an Eagle Scout. I mean, they're, one got nominated to the Naval and Air Force Academy. They are not, you know, they're the cream of the crop.
Right.
And I tell them, before you get too puffed up, I want you to know that if you were to graduate with me, you guys would be average. Seriously. And I believe that to be true. Even I found my dad's, I don't even know why they had this, but I found my dad's eighth grade constitution test. And the pages are all yellowed, but it was 8 pages front and back. And you had to know not just the standard stuff you would assume. You had to write by name every single cabinet member. Wow. Now, I've got a master's, and I couldn't do that today. I mean, I couldn't, and I don't think I'm dumb. But who would know that kind of stuff? Like, all of our education is dumbing down.
Google and Siri, that's who knows that.
Right. Right.
Those girls.
Those girls, yeah.
Those Alexa. Damn girls. Alexa, Siri, Google.
But I can't even imagine knowing who the, you know,
yeah,
who the Secretary of the Interior is
now,
or something.
I'm sure they don't even need to know that now.
Right.
And so back then, although maybe those things really weren't that important, it was the discipline behind knowing it that took it further on for life. It's a discipline. I have to memorize it. I have to memorize.
Right.
Remember we had to
memorize. You're exactly right. The preamble and the...
All that, right? We had to memorize the state, the capital, so on and so forth. I mean, we knew that by third grade.
Right.
Well, now, and now they want them to know that by second, first grade.
Or, I know. When I see that they're reading by kindergarten now, and we didn't learn to read till first grade, I am... And then one of my friends is a TK teacher. She's starting them reading at 4 years old. And I think, wow, the amount of what they have to know is so great. But we are not – time is a luxury. We don't have an education because we have this amount we have to teach and we have this amount of time.
Right.
But they are – so what they're missing is learning how to think critically because that takes time.
Yes.
And we don't have time to teach them. So if – you and I aren't doing it. No one's doing it.
Right.
And they don't know how to problem solve at all.
No, they don't.
And I'm generalizing, but that's...
Yeah. I mean, you're right on the button. And not to mention that a teacher has 41 children to one teacher. If they have an assistant, which is not likely.
Right.
And, you know, it's just, I mean, the whole school system. I mean, I was a preschool teacher for 25 years, and you know, I've always oftentimes parents at home, she doesn't know how to write her name yet. I said, that's okay. She's going to get it. I said, my job is to make sure that she's confident in the way she learns, that this is her way of learning. And then when she goes to school, she's able to say, I don't learn that way. This is how I learn. She's going to learn how to write her name.
Right.
That's not a problem.
We're all at different levels.
But in order to feel confident enough with yourself and not feel dumb, and be able to speak on that, that was my goal. I'm telling these kids to, you're okay just the way you are. You are just fine.
I love it.
Yeah.
And God bless you for teaching preschool. There's no way.
The best. Wow. Love those babies. They're just, they're just so cute. I one time I was face painting on one of their arms, and I made this dinosaur, and it was the most horrific dinosaur I've ever painted. I'm like, oh my God, it's so, oh gosh. I was like, okay, there you go. He goes, teacher, this is the best dinosaur I've ever seen. He's showing all the kids, and I'm like, really?
I'm like, wow, self-sabotage is a real thing.
Yeah.
Because this little boy was the happiest kid on planet Earth. He couldn't have, it was the best dinosaur ever, you know? And I was like, wow, it is the best dinosaur ever, isn't it? He's like, yeah, it is. You know, I was just like, wow. Like, shame
on
me.
That's so cool.
You know, for being critical of myself. No, I understand.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, ugh. But yes. So, should we go on to the next question? Oh, that was question four?
Oh, no. The next one is.
Oh, I was going to flip it over. Oh. Yeah.
You've got about, I'd say, 10 minutes left.
So okay.
Just, yeah.
Okay.
Check. But, yeah, go ahead. Go on to four.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Could you briefly describe in your own words your personal political values?
Oh, now they want to do this?
I know, right?
You've got 2 minutes and 38 seconds left. Now, I assume that in general, people first learn about those types of things from their folks. And while I was raised conservative, and I was raised kind of that Republican values were synonymous with the church's values. And I don't think that that's necessarily true. But I remember I started volunteering for the Republican Party in, gosh, I hadn't even graduated high school. I think I was 17 years old or 16 years old, and I started knocking on doors, and I started getting involved, and I wanted to know more and more about politics. And then I was on Central Committee for Tulare County, and I was really involved. And then life got in the way, and I got to a point where I couldn't. But I am socially pretty liberal, just kind of financially and economically conservative. And frankly, I just wish the government didn't have much to do with our lives at all. I wish that they would just let us be. But I realize you need to have some government. And I have always raised my kids like where, well, it's not just my kids. Like, I'm that teacher in the morning where if everybody's not standing up and saying the Pledge of Allegiance, if it's a religious thing, that's one thing. I do not mind. But if you're just being lazy, no, we're going to do this because we need to have some sort of unity amongst ourselves as Americans, not by our race, not by our gender, not by our anything, just because you're American, we need some things that bind us. We need some cultures. We need some tradition. We need to, if this is what we're going to do. When I said I saw Dad's Constitution test, I noticed that they had to memorize the American Creed. And I wasn't even familiar with that. I didn't even know anything. Yeah. I don't know it at all. And I thought, we're losing things. Like, I hate putting Christmas lights up on the house, but I do it for my children because it is part of this. You're American. This is what you're doing. I remember driving them to Fresno to say, we're going to see the Nutcracker. You guys are going to hate it. It's terrible, but we're Americans. This is what we do. We torture our kids with the Nutcracker ballet, you know, and so it's just tradition is important to me. I'm just kind of generally conservative. How about you? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm very liberal. Uh-huh. I think we should burn down the government. I think that we should chant down all of this. And I think that it has caused more harm than good.
Yeah.
And I think that, in all fairness, when we pledge allegiance to the flag, mm-hmm. it's a piece of material, mm-hmm. and that when you bring politics and God into it, mm-hmm. it's very unfair to say with liberty and justice for all, there is not liberty and justice for all, because if there were liberty and justice for all, there wouldn't be a lot of these things happening in this world. And
I love the way that you put that. I like that it's almost like you're I'd never looked at it that way.
And I also feel it's 2-2-2. I also feel that
God has nothing to do with politics. Mm-hmm. And each of us, like I was saying, mm-hmm. you know, we all have our own mm-hmm. personal relationship or not mm-hmm. with God. And if you will, for lack of a better definition. And I don't think that it should be put upon us in that way. Like, we have to pledge allegiance. I'm not disrespecting you in any way.
Oh,
I hope you're not feeling disrespected.
No.
But I just don't – I don't know. I don't understand how that has to move together. I think it's more important to educate our children mm-hmm. with the truth mm-hmm. and take more time and talk about each other's cultures and understand mm-hmm. our own culture, so that way we can actually share that knowledge mm-hmm. with each other. Like, oh, like your grandmother says you're not supposed to whistle in the house. Oh, my grandmother too. I wonder why. Well, back in the 1800s, there was a, you know, some sort of like superstition. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow, that happened here too. How did that happen mm-hmm. from two different sides of the earth, right? That these things come together.
Flood story. Right. Every culture has a flood story.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's, I would prefer to take more time to rebuild this earth and respect this earth in a positive way. And I feel that the government is really destroying mm-hmm. our earth and destroying her to the point where we have, it's 76 degrees in LA right now. Mm-hmm. That's not okay. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be 76 degrees in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. I'm just giving you an example, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it should be a lot colder here right now. And it's not. I mean, from years past. Mm-hmm. And that's global warming. And mm-hmm. I think that there's a lot of political issues that are going on and being allowed that are causing harm to us. Like, I think, wow, okay, where are all these government officials going to go when planet Earth pops? You think you're really going to go to the moon? You really think you're going to go to Mars? You really think you're going to Jeff Bezos or whatever his name is mm-hmm. going to fly you guys up someplace? Mm-hmm. That's madness. Mm-hmm. This is where you're from. This is planet Earth. This is where you were born into. So treat her correctly and with respect. Mm-hmm. So, as far as my political views are, I really feel like I'm open to tradition mm-hmm. and I'm open to family values. I just don't, for me personally, mm-hmm. I'm really more on the radical revolutionary side of things.
We need that. We need that. That's why I celebrate America, because how boring would this be if we thought exactly alike? True. I just wish people were more tolerant of just listening. Well, that's listening to each other. Yeah.
Because if we listen to each other, right? And we were able to just say, hey, I'm a little different than you, but try this. Mm-hmm. Like, try my food. Let me try your mm-hmm. food. Tell me about your traditions. Instead of, this is what I always say, instead of reinventing the wheel, let's mm-hmm. add spokes to it mm-hmm. to make it stronger, right? But in order for us to add spokes to that wheel, let's paint it, right? Mm-hmm. And in order to do that, we have to have knowledge of self and knowledge of our past and, I'm sorry, our knowledge of our past and where we come from,
right? That's why I teach history, because I give them. Sorry.
Sorry, one second. Just can we wait till the buzzing finishes?
Mm-hmm. Let me just make it unbuzz.
Because you're saying good things.
My mom's probably calling you.
It is. Okay.
Okay. Sorry. Go on. And that's just your closing question that I put there for you.
Okay. So, yes, I agree. You know,
I'm very spokes on the wheel.
Mm-hmm. I think it's wonderful that Elijah's here, because mm-hmm. Elijah and I were having a heated debate a few days ago, mm-hmm. and around race, mm-hmm. and I'm very much, you know, I'm open to everyone, mm-hmm. but I think people need to be open as well, and when folks are not open, that's where the conflict comes in for me. You know, people are like, no, you know, people need to go back to where they came from. If we all need to go back to where we came from, then I'll stay here and other people need to go where they came from. But if we can all come together, right, and we can all live together, we can learn from one another and we can celebrate each other's differences and not be afraid of, because mm-hmm. that's what it is. It's really the fear right. of. There's no reason to be fearful.
People are fearful of the things that they don't know about.
Weren't we fearful when we were babies and we didn't know how to walk? Right. But we still got our butts up, right? And
we didn't crawl steps. In this door.
Right? Mm-hmm. right?
Because we didn't care what other people thought. We just got up and tried again and tried again. And you don't see that kind of perseverance.
And that's what I really feel like we need to – it's just a small part of what we need to move forward mm-hmm. in this world. And yes, yeah, I think that there's a lot of history that has – been that has caused damage to all of us. I mean, look at your grandfather. He survived mm-hmm. the Germans. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a whole nother energy that could be equated to like indigenous folks surviving Europeans come. You know, it can be a very similar story and very similar feelings of fear and doubt mm-hmm. and survival.
Yeah.
You know, so that's where I'm at in regards to my political stance.
So we've got about 5 minutes left.
Okay, do you want
to? I just put a little closing question if you want to reflect on that or if you want to kind of have your own reflection. But yeah.
I ask her, though.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So what do you hope for the future? You kind of touched on that, but...
Yeah, I hope that with all the things that are going on in the world at this very, very moment mm-hmm. and everything being exposed with social media, even though I have a love and hate relationship with that social media business, I also feel that it's a blessing to be able to see some things mm-hmm. that more people will awaken and rise to the occasion. Mm-hmm. And change their fear mm-hmm. into courage so we can hopefully save this world for our future, for our next 7 generations to come.
Right.
Because there are a lot of babies coming in right now, and they're coming into this world.
Yeah.
And just like our children came into this world, you know, I look at my children as... saviors of this world. You know, they came to this world to do what they need to do. Mm-hmm. It's their destiny, just like we have our destiny. And I mm-hmm. hope that these future babies that are coming in will have a destiny to also fulfill, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, just fulfill being better to this earth and being better to each other mm-hmm. and bring balance. So I would like to see balance and... I hope that we can get it together as a human race.
I have to agree with you. I mean, I wish people could realize that their common bonds are stronger than their differences. And I feel like there is a lack of self-control. And everyone has this immediate gratification that they want their needs met right then. Mm-hmm. They have not learned to put in. They wouldn't know what layaway was for nothing. You know, like where if I wanted a coat, my mom started paying for it in April. You know,
right.
And then we got it once it was paid for, and we. Our children don't know that.
They have no idea what layaway is.
They want something like that, you know? And so I'm working on a Saturday trying to make that happen. And I'm doing it all alone. And I, my hope for the future is that we restructure some things, primarily education. I feel like education's an actual disaster. And I wish that we could, like, I don't know, maybe make it more like Montessori or skill-based or something, but...
Maybe even play-based.
Yes, yes.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yes. And I wish we, common heads, like, sense would prevail for once, just once. Like, not egos, just set those egos aside.
Yes, please. Mm-hmm. I agree.
And just let's tackle this problem. I don't care how you vote. I don't. I don't care where you worship. Nothing. Just here's the problem. Our kids aren't learning. How can we fix this? Because I don't know. In a way, I feel like we kind of raised ourselves. My parents didn't care where I was, what I was doing.
Yeah, that
they
was
let
our
us
generation,
do whatever
right?
we wanted, you know. And we have our kids in bubble wrap.
Totally.
And so I'm afraid that they aren't going to be able to figure things out.
Yes, and you know what else has our children in bubble wrap? Mm-hmm. That phone, that Siri, those
yes.
Googles. Because
yes.
Why do you know all the street names? Because why do you – I still mm-hmm. remember my best friend's phone number.
Right.
I still remember my home phone number.
Right.
You know, I remember many phone numbers.
Right.
And I train myself to remember people's phone. Because if this phone is not available, how am mm-hmm. I going to call anyone?
Right.
You know, and I can guarantee – that there are plenty of children who do not know one single phone number by heart.
They don't.
They don't. They don't even know how to, I mean.
I teach eighth grade and the kids don't know their own address.
Stop.
No, I'm serious. They don't know their own address.
Ooh.
That's not hyperbole.
Wow. Well.
On that note.
Yes.
We're at an hour.
Okay.
So this is usually when I wrap things up. If you guys want to say any final things, thank yous, acknowledgments, whatever that may be.
I have to tell you, when I read the email thing and it said, like, you might get emotional, I thought, that's so silly. I'm not going to get emotional. I'm not even a crier anyhow. I'm not, and I'm really like weeping. And, to be able to make a connection with a stranger that quickly, it just makes me think, man, I want to talk to you in the future. I want to, I am so impressed with you. If we can do this, why can't everyone? And it's just been a great honor to meet you, Mariposa.
Oh, it's been a great honor to meet you as well. And I feel the same. And I'll tell you afterwards. But yeah, I'm open to continuing having mm-hmm. more conversations. And maybe this can spark where we can bring other people in a group setting and just be like, look.
Right.
Like, we're teachers.
Right.
And we know how to command the room, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. we can just bring other people in and have people do this one-on-one. And then we can, kind of
make
speed dating.
Right.
But we can have, speed talking.
Right.
And set an intention and just make it, because we really need this. And this is very interesting. I thought this was a wonderful project.
I do, too.
And I think I can't even imagine. I hope other people are getting what we've gotten out of this today.
Yeah.
So I'm grateful. And, you're an amazing human being. And
likewise.
Keep shining your light. And
likewise.
Live the flow, not the fear.
That's a tough assignment.
But you got it.
I try.
You're a mom.
Yes.
There's no try. There's only do.
Ooh.
Says Yoda.
The next time you see me, I'm going to be in all white.
There you go. And next time you see me, I'm going to be wearing this. Because I'm not going to have to be in white anymore.